Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We are now accepting applications for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, recognizing top businesses and business leaders for their commitment to leadership. Applications are at leadersportfolio.com, and I really encourage you to do this because, you know, so many people are questioning the ethics of companies nowadays and with just, you know, reason. And so we created these awards to say, you know what, not all businesses are kind of, you know, doing poor leadership practices, screw their employees, screw their clients and all that stuff. And so here's an example for businesses who do practice positive things to kind of say, you know what, I want to make a stand and I want to stand up and say that I do practice positive leadership practices. And we're very thankful for the range of applications we get from startups to, you know, several hundred employee businesses, multi-million dollar businesses to very small, you know, startups year one, and we love it. So we encourage you at leadersportfolio.com. We are now in Leaders Portfolio Studio with the Chairman, President, and CEO of Walker & Dunlop, Mr. William Walker. Located in Bethesda, Maryland, Walker & Dunlop is a commercial real estate financing company with stock ticker WD on New York Stock Exchange. William was selected as winner of the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year in 2011 for financial services in Greater Washington area. So welcome, Willie, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thanks, Dr. Blacksmith. Nice to be here.
And your grandfather founded this firm.
1937.
So did you as a little kid know this is you're going to take over or was there pressure to take over or?
None whatsoever. Actually, I didn't come to the company until I was 36 years old. So I'd gone out and done many, many things actually all around the world before coming back to our family business. And quite honestly, never thought I'd be in this role.
And so what propagated you to come back to the role?
So I'd spent almost a decade in Latin America doing everything from venture capital to starting up businesses and then worked for a pretty large U.S. corporation, a multinational, running their Latin American division and then European division. And the only job really left for me was CEO of the company, and the CEO was a young guy who'd started the company and doing very, very well. And so my wife and I were living in London. And to stay in Europe would have required sort of another 5 to 7 years over in Europe. And so we started looking, what would I do if I came back to the States? And I was on the board of our family company. And I turned to my dad and said, I think I can help you. And he said, I've always known you could help me. I just didn't think you had any interest. And one thing led to another. And I came back to join Walker & Dunlop at the end of 2003. So I've been back now for the better part of 8 years. And we've grown the company dramatically in that 8-year period, if you will, culminating with the IPO of the company at the end of 2010. We are now one of the largest commercial real estate finance companies in the United States and have 12 offices across the country and having a lot of fun at it.
Now, and CNBC said you were the first mortgage banking company to go public in 2011 since 2007.
Yep.
Because it was definitely a rough time for mortgage banking companies.
It was a very rough time, particularly on the single family side. There's a significant differentiation between the single family financing of individual homes and commercial properties, which is what we focus on. But with that said, yes, it was a very tough 2008, 9, and 10. We did very well during that period of time. And on the backs of that growth and very, very solid financial performance, we were able to go public at what I believe is the beginning of the next cycle. Many companies do really well during a cycle and then go public at the end of the cycle and then deal with whatever happens afterwards. We were, I believe, fortunate to go public at the very beginning of this cycle, which has given us the capital to be able to grow the company dramatically over the next couple of years.
And why did you decide to go public?
We were a capital-constrained family-held company. And so for me to be able to grow the company as rapidly as I'd like to, instead of sitting around the table with my father and saying, how much money are we going to invest in this? And quite honestly, not having enough money to be able to invest in it. Going public allowed us to raise capital from the public and to grow the company. And that's really what we're focused on.
Now, I read in the Washington Post that nearly 80% of the $4 billion in loans Walker & Dunlop originated last year were tied to government-sponsored entities such as Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So a majority of the firm's business concentrated on financing apartment buildings and then selling those loans to the mortgage giant. So it makes sense to me that you would have been able to kind of go public and succeed because you're tied to kind of, you know, the government has you know, such a large percentage of our loans in America, right? And so your company with that, you know, you kind of have the, you kind of in a way are a government contractor, but not at all, right? You're, I mean, your model, I mean, is very similar to a government contractor in that you've got a steady stream of federal funding. It just doesn't go direct.
Correct.
And you can disagree with
me. No, correct and incorrect. Correct. First of all, that 80% was with Fannie, Freddie, and HUD.
Okay.
So that's just important only in that the debate is really around Fannie and Freddie. And HUD is a part. I don't think anyone thinks that HUD's going anywhere anytime soon. And the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development puts out a significant amount of capital to apartment buildings specifically, as well as seniors housing. But that is correct. In 2008 and 2009, when there was no private capital really coming to commercial real estate, the one space where you actually had a supply of capital was where Fannie and Freddie were lending on apartment buildings. Now, if you think about it, there are two very distinct differentiators here. First of all, when we put out a loan with Fannie Mae, we, Walker & Dunlop, take the first loss position.
I saw so, that. That was your argument in a column that you wrote.
And it's a huge piece to it. In the single family world, if you were Countrywide and you went in and bought a loan from a mortgage originator and then you packaged it and sold it off to Fannie and Freddie, you Countrywide didn't hold any contingent liability. So all the pooling and packaging of single family mortgages, which crippled our economy in 2008 and 2009, was, from my standpoint, because the people who originated the loans had no
right.
long-term incentive to really look at whether the borrower was creditworthy or not. In our business, we have to look at the creditworthiness of the borrower because we are in front of the government money. We, Walker & Dunlop, as a private enterprise, take that first loss position. And so I think that alignment of interest in our business
mm-hmm.
is what has driven both our performance, the performance of our big competition, as well as in Fannie and Freddie in their multifamily portfolios and their apartment portfolios, their default rates are fractions of what they were in the broader market with banks and particularly with CMBS, commercial mortgage-backed securities. So the big Wall Street firms that were packaging mortgages and selling them. So you are correct. The supply of capital we got from Fannie and Freddie was hugely important to us being able to weather the downturn and do so well. At the same time, if you think about it from a competitiveness standpoint, there are 25 different companies that have licenses from Fannie and Freddie to originate apartment loans. And so every single day, we're competing with Wells Fargo mm-hmm. and Deutsche Bank and PNC and BB&T and M&T.
Are they taking first loss positions or is that your competitive edge?
They're taking first loss positions.
Oh, it's now normal.
Well. Oh, yeah. In the commercial space, the way Fannie Mae set up the program was always that the originator takes the first loss position. And so as everyone sits there and talks about Fannie Freddie reform and what to do with them, one of the things that I always say is you want to fix the single family world, make people hold the risk. And lots of people come back to me and say, well, small independent mortgage brokers don't have a balance sheet to be able to hold the risk. And my response would be then form co-ops or merge, consolidate to be able to create the capital base to be able to hold that risk. When Walker & Dunlop got into this business back in 1988, we didn't have the capital to be able to hold the risk. We had to partner with a large life insurance company to be able to create a balance sheet that could hold the risk. So I'm a big proponent of aligning interest and making sure that people hold on to the risk of these mortgages.
And the same op-ed in New York Times that we were talking mm-hmm. about, that you took this, you argued about this first loss position. You also talked about Sarbanes-Oxley compliance costs for smaller public companies that are too onerous, which I have heard over and over and over and over on this show.
Yep.
And so that's another issue that you're, and you, I would assume, was someone that was burdened by that.
We are. The Jobs Act, which was signed by President Obama last week, gives some relief to smaller public companies like us, and we're actually looking at what that actually is. In other words, we're trying to quantify it. We believe we spent between $4 and $5 million last year in overall regulatory compliance for being a public company. We made $56 million in pre-tax income last year. So, you know, a pretty significant amount, a little bit less than 10% of our pre-tax income was in the expense for being a publicly traded company, complying with Sarbanes-Oxley, all of the SEC filings, all of the increased insurance premiums we need to pay, all that great stuff. So I am a big proponent of trying to lower the burden on small companies like us to allow us to grow faster.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. We are speaking with the chairman, president, CEO of Walker & Dunlop, Mr. William Walker. And you have a bachelor's in government from St. Lawrence University and MBA from Harvard. So we're fellow Ivy Leaguers. So let's talk about your overall leadership philosophy.
Oh, say what you mean and do what you say. I've met plenty of people in my business career who say things that they don't really mean. And I've also seen plenty of CEOs who've gone out and put out a strategy that they think sounds good, but they don't actually, if you will, walk the talk. And so I would just say that more than anything, it's that. I also am a reasonably energetic person. I'm out on the road all the time. I'm meeting with people. I work long hours, and I think everybody understands that if I'm asking them to work long and hard, I'm working long and hard with them.
Excellent. Now, what's the largest leadership failure you've had?
Oh, wow. I've had lots of failures. I think probably the biggest was I launched an airline in Argentina back in 1997. And we were getting ready to launch flight operations, and the head of the venture capital firm that was all my seed funding basically decided he wanted to play airline CEO. And I basically said to him, if you want to come here and be CEO on a day-to-day basis, I'll work for you. But if you want me to be CEO, you can't be second-guessing everything that I'm doing. He basically didn't like that response. And I said, great, if that's the way you want to keep being in and out, I'm going to leave. After having put a year and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into launching an airline, I had to leave that airline right after I launched it. And that was a difficult moment, particularly when they brought in the new general manager or the new head of the airline. And I sat there in a meeting thinking that the entire management team was going to get up and walk out with me. And in about the snap of a finger, they all turned to the new head and they all basically said, I'm on your team, let's go. And I sat there and said, but I wrote the business plan. I started this whole thing. I'm the one you should have allegiance to. And I very quickly learned that no matter who's sitting in your seat, people will work for whomever is designated as the head of that company. So no one's indispensable. Nobody to any company should think that they have the special sauce that makes everything run.
That's a great lesson. And I mean, hopefully learned it early on.
I did learn it early on when I was about 28 years old.
All right. Well, Willie, thanks for joining us in Leaders Portfolio.
My pleasure.
I appreciate having you here.
Very nice meeting you.
You as well. Willie, CEO of Walker & Dunlap, Chairman, President, and CEO, and of course, stock ticker WD on the New York Stock Exchange, here with us in the Leaders Portfolio studio. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank the supporters of leadership. Leaders Portfolio sponsors Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, Hilton Garden Inn, or Fairfax, Virginia are some of our sponsors that encourage providing leadership content. And we really appreciate businesses that want to make a stand and say, you know what, we do believe in leadership. We do believe in making great ethical decisions, and we know that's better for all of society and for community. And so we encourage, if you're trying to reach the federal and business communities, to consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. All right, and of course, you can find Mr. Willie Walker's Chairman, President, CEO of Walker & Dunlap. His interview will be available at leadersportfolio.com. I'm Dr. Blacksmith. Be back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux-Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.